Welcome to A Dopamine Kick. Yes, another ADHD podcast.
We're your hosts, Sparky and Shell.
Join us each week and we can hyper-focus together on all things ADHD.
This is our journey to diagnosis, the challenges, frustrations and humour that come when living with ADHD as adults.
Let the interrupting begin!
Hello everyone and welcome to the actual episode 93 of A Dopamine Kick. Today we are going to be discussing how the world is just not built for people with ADHD and some examples of that in our own life and areas which we think could be better.
Just want to say before we start, thank you so much to anybody who has donated or subscribe to the Patreon. If you do want to help and support the show, you can do that by clicking on the link which we'll leave in the description. Anybody who donates or subscribes to the Patreon, we really, 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 really appreciate it. So thank you so, so much.
Thank you.
So this week we're talking about how the world is not built for people with ADHD. So the world is just not intentionally designed for people with ADHD, which makes it really challenging if you have ADHD because it doesn't align well with your behavior traits associated with having ADHD. So we're going to talk about some of the ways in which the world is less accommodating for people that have ADHD. And Shell, do you want to kick us off? Because this episode kind of started with Shell going on about how... What was it, Shell?
So my daughter has just started preschool. It's a lovely, lovely school. And they sent us this like welcome pack for all the information that we need to know. And it's just really descriptive and, you know, it's a couple of A4 pages long. And it's got things like, you know, on this day we go to our forest school and it's a wonderful time for the children and they enjoy splashing around and getting really muddy. So they'll need an all-in-one suit and their wellies. We do ask that you bring in old clothes. It's just like that, just really like, it's almost like a story. And that the whole booklet is like that. And it's lovely to read. And I felt very like reassured that she's going to a kind and nurturing place. But when it comes to like buying the stuff that she needed, I must have read this booklet upwards of 100 times. And still on the day she started, I'm still frantically buying stuff because every time I read it, I realise there's another thing in it that I haven't bought. What I could have done with is actually not like a lovely story about how the children spend their day, but a bullet point list. You need to buy this by this date. And I could have done that straight away in a day. That would have been fine. But instead, I've to the point where like I've got a highlighter pen and I've gone through and I've highlighted like things that I need to get because I just kept missing stuff. And then I'd go back and I'd be like, oh my God, I didn't. And the colours as well, they're allowed to wear a couple of different types of colours of things like the leggings. And I just completely missed that. And so I was like frantically trying to find one colour and I was in a shop. So you can wear black, brown or grey, basically. And I misread that. I thought they could only have black. So I was in a shop trying to get her uniform and they had loads of grey leggings, but no black. And so I didn't buy any because I didn't remember that you could also buy grey because it was, you know, this big, long story.
So
it just got me thinking about how like this is a really nice... friendly, lovely school, and I found their communication really difficult. But there's so many instances in which you're dealing with organisations that are not lovely and friendly, and it's even worse.
And do you know what, as well? It can even be conversations with friends and family members. So, is something happening in the background, Shell?
Yeah, just give me a second. It's the fucking cat. Oh, it's just
I couldn't talk then because of the distraction.
Like, she's been here the entire time we've been talking, just sitting quietly in the corner. And the very minute I turn the record button on, she decides she's going to start batting a cardboard box around the room.
I'm so keeping that bit in.
Cats are such dicks. I'm so sorry. It's not me interrupting you, it's one of the cats.
I can't remember what I was saying. Do you remember what I was saying?
No, because I wasn't listening to you. I was too busy thinking, I'm going to have to move that cat.
Oh, no. I've lost it.
Well, I know I was talking about places that can be unfriendly.
I've lost it now. That bloody cat. It's distracting
non-stop me. Professionalism from both of us today.
Another thing that I find really difficult is long-winded processes with things like forms that you need to fill in. So sometimes I will read a form. I don't know. Let's say, for example, I'm going to a new doctor's or I'm signing up to something and I need to complete a form. I just find the way that it's worded sometimes is so lengthy and you have to read things over and over again. Taxis is one of those things that I just really struggle to do, because not only is the process boring and usually doesn't end up taking me as long as I anticipated, It's just the way that it's worded is just like, oh, come on, like just I need you to just put it in the most basic terms so I can just type yes or no. Instead it just goes like a really long-winded way. So you're actually questioning the question and then Googling the question. And then I just get so overwhelmed.
Googling the
question. I end up shutting down and going to sleep. This is what takes my taxis so long, because I just can't complete it in one day. I start it and I'm like, oh, I can't do this. And then I just end up doing something else or going to sleep to like, I don't know, maladaptively get rid of all the stress.
Yeah. It is hard though, isn't it? I find anything sort of government based is really complex and difficult to understand. So my recent one would be applying to Access to Work, which for anyone not in the UK, that is our government's, I guess, disability scheme. So if you have any sort of issue, you can apply to Access to Work and you might get some things to help you stay in the workplace environment. So I got things like earplugs to reduce distraction and some software that would help with like typing and stuff. But the form to fill it in was all right, I suppose. But what I found really difficult is when I was actually dealing with them afterwards. So you fill in the form and you don't hear anything for like 6 months. And then all of a sudden they message you and it's like, if you don't reply to this email in 5 days, you're off the list. It's like, okay, a bit stressful. And they wanted to know information that I didn't have, that wasn't mine to give, that it was like, so it was like from like work related. And I was, you know, kept saying like, I'm really trying to get hold of this information, but it's not, I don't have it at my disposal. I'm not just being awkward, not giving it to you. I'm having to ask people for it and they're not coming back to me.
Yeah.
And I just kept hearing back like, well, if you've not got it by this date, then you're off the list and you have to apply again, which is incredibly, incredibly stressful. And then when I got through to that part and got my assessment, it was like, you need to ring this number. Oh, this number's going to ring you. And if you don't answer, then again, you're off the list. If you want, you can take it on yourself to ring the number. But there's only one appointment that you can make. And if you can't make that appointment, then you're off the list. And I was like, what the hell is this? Like, it's just constant threats. Every time I interact with these people, I'm threatened that I'll be taken off the list. Like, I haven't done anything wrong or done anything to, you know, make them think that I'm going to delay things or, but like right from the first moment they interacted with me, it was you're off the list if you do this, if you do that. I just found that so incredibly, incredibly stressful. And for an organisation that's meant to deal specifically with people with disabilities, I just thought, it's just not really okay, is it? Like, I don't think I've ever been spoken to in that manner by anyone else. And they must get people come through their services that are quite vulnerable and probably don't stick up for themselves and say, hang on a minute, I don't appreciate being spoken to like that. Mm-hmm. I've not done anything to justify that tone. So yeah, that's my little grumble. Government stuff I find is very disability unfriendly.
Yeah, I agree with that. And also, like, for example, in the UK, we have the National Health Service. And what I find really terrible, just to continue on from what Shell was saying, is NHS services, such as ADHD services, will send you letters saying that if you don't get back to us by this date, if we don't get this document by this date, then we will assume that you don't want the assessment, you'll be taken off the list. And I just think that's absolutely disgusting, because if you've got ADHD, you have a problem with executive function, and time management. You just struggle with time. We've spoke about time a lot before. So managing your time effectively can be a real struggle for people with ADHD. And I think many aspects of daily life, from planning to appointments, meeting deadlines, they do require strong time management skills to keep up with daily life. And it's a real challenge for people with ADHD. So I think for a service that's supposed to be giving vulnerable people, people with disabilities, help and support, I just don't understand how they don't think about that beforehand. Do you get what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, because I've never had anything like that when I've had any other medical complaint. You know, like, I don't know, say like post-operative care after my cesarean, I was never sent a letter saying, you know, you've got a checkup on this date. If you don't attend the checkup, you're off the list. You don't get any further post-op care.
You are so right.
You don't, do you?
No, you don't even get that with the dentist.
Nobody speaks to you like that unless they think you've got a disability, and then all of a sudden you've got to be chastised like a child for not before you've even done anything wrong. The assumption is you'll do something wrong if they don't threaten you.
Yeah, I know, it's terrible. It really is. You know, when you say it like that and you say you've used other services and you've never felt that way, that just goes to show, why do they do it? I can't get my head around it.
I think it's because we're just used to as like always being a bit different and having to apologise for ourselves. So when people like speak to you like that, automatically you just assume you're the problem.
Yeah. Another thing that I wanted to mention as well is communication. So I know that smartphones and technology, it's helped us tremendously do different things in the world, great things, but it can also have a really detrimental effect on your mental health as well. And I think people with ADHD, then things like smartphones and constantly being connected to work can be very stressful. So I worked in a job where we had a group chat, and constantly the group chat was just going off all the time, all hours. The place that I worked was open 24 hours a day, so you'd be getting messages at any time. You could be getting messages at like 11 o'clock at night, 5 o'clock in the morning. It was just constant, and you always felt like you were connected to that work, and it was kind of stressful because not only have you got to get on with your daily life when you're away from work, but you're being distracted by your smartphone going off, people talking about things, stressful things that you don't need to know because you're not at work, but you're connected to work because people are talking about it. So you're almost like stressed out just by being at home on your own. You can't just get on with your day anymore because something's going on at work and there's drama going on. And I think it's really difficult if you have ADHD to kind of filter all that out, because you struggle with distractions anyway. But then when you've got messages coming through consistently, constantly, most of the time it's bad. No one ever talks good in a group work chat, do they? Let's be honest.
Oh, rarely, usually. Nobody took the bins out again.
Yeah, or photos of like someone didn't do the washing up. I've had enough of this. I will be throwing all these cups away.
Yeah.
And particularly if you've got ADHD, you're probably one of those people that left a cup somewhere and then feeling guilty about the fact that you've done it for the 15th time.
I remember when like the work chat wasn't a thing. It makes me feel really old now. In my day,
we didn't have a group work chat.
Well, we didn't. When I first started work, I don't think WhatsApp was around, or if it was, it wasn't a done thing the way it is now to always have a group chat wherever you were at work. You just used to turn up to work and like do your shift, and you went home. You didn't really speak to anyone from work until your next shift. Like, someone might ring you if it was urgent, but then you knew it was urgent. You weren't getting rung about like gossip or minor incidences. Whereas now, like you say, it's just, I mean, it bothers me less now because I don't have any notifications. So I only check WhatsApp when I want to check it. But yeah, I find it really difficult to transition from different places as well. So if I'm at home, I find it really difficult to be involved in like the work chat, because then I'm absorbed in the work chat and I'm no longer present at home.
Well, it's just like I was saying as well with the chats, you don't need to know that Sonia didn't take the bins out, or
bloody Sonia,
someone didn't. Yeah, do you know you don't need to know this stuff, but you do know it, because even if you've got the notifications off, the next time you log on,
I still read
the notifications are there. You still have to read them. And if you don't, if you're the kind of person who doesn't participate in the group chat, people just think you're really weird.
Yeah.
That person that never replies.
I think with me, people think that I don't care, but what happens is I will read them. I'll read like the messages, and sometimes it will be something that I'm quite like, I would have been motivated to answer, but the conversation happened 5 hours ago and people have already put in a good enough answer.
Yeah. And you feel there's no need to get
involved. So it's very rare that I comment. Yeah.
Another thing as well that I find is really difficult about this world and, you know, having ADHD is the impulsivity triggers. So the only example I can give you with this is when I did business studies, we had to create a shop. And in this shop, we would put things in a certain place where people would spot the products and they're more likely to buy them. So at the entrance, you'd put this there, and at the exit, you'd put this there so that it would encourage people to buy things.
Yeah.
Well, the world is like that, isn't it? You know, it's difficult to resist temptations anyway. But if you've got ADHD, you're more likely to be impulsive. So it presents us with numerous opportunities for those impulsive actions to happen. So we can make these purchases that we don't really need. And I've said this before on the podcast, you're just a marketer's wet dream, Shell.
And I am.
You are the type of person.
You tell me about it enough, I need it.
Yeah. Or go into a shop and see something can be like, oh, I need that. But you didn't go in there for that.
Yeah, I'm so bad for that.
With most people that don't have ADHD, they might fall into that trap. But if you've got ADHD, you're more likely to come out of that shop and forget what you went in for. Come out with all the irrelevant things.
Yeah, the worst for me is like shops that sell different kinds of stuff.
Oh, but don't you just love those though?
No, I don't, because I then can't concentrate on what I went in for. So like, you know, like the kind of shop where you go in and like you come out and you've got your weekly groceries, but also like a TV and some stuff for the garden.
Yeah.
I cannot cope in shops like that. I can't do it, because I feel like I can go into a shop and be like, right, I only need this, this and this. And I've got like my guard up, you know, like when I'm going food shopping, I'm like, right, I'm going to try not to have any like bad foods in the shop. And so that's already like on my radar. But then when I'm walking past like the middle aisle, it's like, oh, look at these adorable little cushions for the garden. Well, I don't have my garden guard up about shit we don't need in the garden. I'm thinking about like not buying sweets and crisps. So that to me feels like, well, I'm not going to buy sweets and crisps. So instead, I will buy this ridiculous set of cushions that I don't need for the garden, because I don't even have any chairs that I can put them on at the moment. But I can't risk leaving these cushions behind, because they might not be there the next time I come in.
They got you hook, line and sinker.
Absolutely.
I do this though. I go to Aldi and I'm in the middle aisle and I'm buying dog beds. I'm like, oh, I can't miss out on that dog bed.
You're like in your trolley, you're like, cucumbers check, tomatoes check. Dog beds.
And you know what's funny? See, I haven't talked about dogs for ages, right? So I feel like I can put this in there. My dog's got about 8 dog beds now, and I don't even know why he needs that many
does
beds.
Does he sleep in any of them? Because that is a massive vice of mine. I'll buy... The cats have got so many beds. To be fair, I've culled them all recently, so they now only have one bed each. I've never seen them ever sleep on a bed.
Shell, where did you put these beds?
Where did I put them?
You didn't throw them, did you?
No, of course I didn't throw them.
I was going to say, hoard them.
I never throw anything away. They are no longer in my house, but they weren't thrown away.
If you need to get rid of anything, make sure you call me first. I want first dibs on whatever's leaving your eyes.
Because you need 9 beds for your singular dog, do
yeah,
you?
I do.
He doesn't even sleep in them. He's on the... Every time I've been to your house, he's straight on the sofa.
Yeah, okay, that's true. He prefers the sofa over the bed. But he does use one of the beds. But...
One of the 8.
In my defence, the cats don't use beds. But if the dog uses the bed, then the cat wants the bed. So that's how I've worked around it. I put him in the bed for a bit. And then the cats are all over that bed, like, flies around shit.
Just so jealous. I love it. Yeah. I can't believe you've turned this into a chat about your dog and cat bed preference. We're supposed to be talking about how difficult it is living in a neurotypical world.
That is a difficulty. Buying things that you do not need.
On the subject of supermarkets, do you find them generally quite difficult? Like there are some days that I just can't walk into a supermarket. Like the lights are so bright, they're often quite noisy, like filled with people. People like bump into you all the time and like touch you when you're not expecting it as they go past. And like, I feel like I really have to be in the right mood to go in a supermarket. I can't just pop in.
Yeah, I can never just pop in for something. And if I am, it's a really big challenge. I think, can I not just get this somewhere quick?
Yeah.
Because I feel like a supermarket isn't built to go in and just grab something.
Yeah.
The only thing it's really good for grabbing is you get that little shop section as you go in. What's it called? Where you buy cigarettes and things like that and magazines.
Oh, the little convenience bit.
Yeah, but even then you can't just pop in for like, I don't know, a cauliflower. So you're like going in to get a cauliflower, then you're like, oh, maybe I need potatoes. And then you're buying bowls and plates in the kitchen section. And it takes up a lot of time. And I really dislike going to the supermarket. But there are better supermarkets, I find, than others. So I find Aldi is a massive distraction because they've got that middle aisle and it's got like loads of stuff in and it changes all the time. So you're like, ooh.
The changing all the time is a real panic for me because you can't, if you see something you want, you just have to buy it because it might not be there next week.
Yeah.
So I don't deal very well with that, added like time pressure. I find that I make quite bad life choices.
Yeah. Yeah, because actually that's true, especially with Aldi. If you don't buy that dog bed when you see it, you're not seeing it again. And yeah. I bought a rattan sofa set for outside and it had these covers on and the covers were getting a bit worn out and I thought, oh, I need to buy some more covers, but Aldi doesn't sell them anymore, so what am I supposed to do?
Like, yeah, it's tough.
I can't buy them again. So I know what you mean when you see something and you think, oh
yeah,
and you're in two minds about it, it ends up going in the basket. You're like, oh, that's going straight in my basket.
In that voice, do you do that voice in your head as well?
No, I'm sure I got that voice from somewhere offline. It's going straight in my basket. Also, the lack of understanding and stigma surrounding ADHD. There's still a lot of stigma surrounding ADHD, which leads to people just expecting you to have a certain behaviour, or it leads to misconceptions. So I remember a few months ago, I told someone I had ADHD and the way they looked at me was like,
yeah,
oh my God, you can't be trusted. Like, I couldn't be trusted.
Like, you're a criminal.
Well, not so much a criminal, Shell. I mean, that's a bit dramatic. But I felt like anything of importance, I couldn't be trusted to complete the task. It's almost like, oh, yeah, he's got ADHD, don't let him do that.
She was probably right, but still offensive.
See what I'm saying? Can't even get away from it with people with ADHD. You can talk. The amount of times you do things wrong, you can't be trusted.
Oh, constantly.
Can't be trusted. No. Can't be trusted with anything.
I'm still surprised that people trust me with anything.
And then the last one, we should probably talk about medication and treatments. I know for a fact that getting any ADHD medication or any treatment such as therapy for ADHD, and particularly the mental health bracket in general, is so fucking hard in this country. If I go to the doctors tomorrow, I can get an appointment and I can come out with antibiotics, steroids, whatever I want. If I've got a chest infection or if I've got an ear infection, if I break my leg, I can get an x-ray pretty quickly. But if I need access to treatments for ADHD, well,
yeah,
that's 4 years down
that's
the line.
4 year wait, yeah. Will you be all right in the next 4 years, do you reckon?
The thing is, as well, the appointments I find are easy to forget because they don't send you any reminders. Like, I'll give you an example. So I had a referral for, I can't remember what it was now, and I could log online, see on the app that it's been accepted. I could choose where I wanted to go. They gave me options. I could go to this hospital or that hospital. It was really well organised. Yet my ADHD assessment, I still don't have any referrals on my NHS app. They still don't know where I am in the queue.
Oh, God.
This is what I'm saying. Like, you just don't know what's going on. And I think
this is like over a year down the line.
Exactly.
That's ridiculous.
It's terrible.
So you don't even know yet if you're on the 4 year wait.
I don't know where I am.
That's a joke. That's a fucking joke.
But I just find it really disgusting that any other medical condition, apart from mental health, it's treated really urgently. Not always, but majority of the time, you can follow the process. You're getting updates. It's all in your history. And then when it comes to anything mental health, it's all over the place. And I don't really understand that. Again, that's another way in which the world is less accommodating for people with ADHD and other mental health issues. But I guess it is important to note that society is gradually becoming more and more aware of ADHD and its challenges. And there are efforts that are being made to create more inclusive and accommodating environments, such as laws and policies related to people with disabilities. So hopefully over time it evolves and we'll get better support and accommodation for people that are living with ADHD. We just got to keep positive.
Keep positive. And I think that's probably enough of our whining for 1 week. Just enough time for Sparky, your turn. What did you ADHD this week?
Oh, well, speaking about how the world's not built for people with ADHD, I'm just really pissed off with myself because even though I have been talking on this podcast for 93 episodes now and trying to give advice about how you can help with ADHD, I still forgot 2 appointments, didn't I? So.
Oh no!
I know. 2 appointments.
And did you remember them while they should have been in session?
Yes, and that was the worst thing.
Yeah. Oh, that's a killer, isn't it?
I've been suffering with headaches for ages, and so as you do, you look up online, and I started thinking, oh, maybe something's really wrong with me because I put on Facebook I've had headaches for weeks, and people are like, go to the doctor, you shouldn't have headaches for weeks. So someone suggested getting an eye test, and I was like, right, I really need this eye test. So I hyper-focused on this eye test all day instead of doing work and ended up getting an eye test booked. On the day, it was all I was focused on, just wanted this eye test, that's all I wanted. But they didn't have an eye test on the day, which presents a problem, because if I don't have it that day, then if it's 2 days later, I've got to remember it. So they sent me an email straight away, all nice, that's great, but they didn't send a follow-up email to say, your appointment's today, and stupidly booked it for first thing in the morning. Don't know why. So I woke up anyway, and then it just hit me. Shit! 9:30. I've missed my fucking eye appointment. Oh. So I'm going to have to pay if I want to go back, because obviously I've taken up a space. I blame society. Why didn't they fucking send me a text to let me know? I just don't understand. That's what I ADHD'd this week. Probably forgot a lot more things too. Well, we an example of this is we forgot the episode titles. We didn't know what number we were on.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's it for this week, I believe.
Yeah.
Because I know you've got to rush, you've got to dash. Let's leave it there this week, guys. Thank you so much for listening to us ramble on again. And we'll see you next week for another episode of All Things ADHD.
Bye.
All right, that's everything this week, guys. But if you want to carry on with the conversation, join us over on our social media platforms. We're on all the major channels and our handle is @adopaminekick.
We'd also be super grateful if you could leave us a review on the podcast wherever you're listening, as it helps us to grow our audience and help more people. Okay, we'll see you in the next one. Bye-bye.
Bye.